the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them." Verse number 3. I guess today was the day I needed to hear this verse. But it said, "Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words." Think about the great privilege that we have as children of God to be loved by God. To be loved. To be the object of somebody's love is a good feeling in life. To be the object of somebody's perfect love is amazing. The Apostle John, as you know, referred to himself in the book of John, if you remember, by the expression, "the disciple who loved Jesus," right? He didn't magnify how much I love the Lord. What he was overwhelmed with, he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I don't know, it just got me today to be loved with a perfect love. "Yea, he loved the people," that's the Lord. "And all his saints are in thy hand." Not only did he love us, but he keeps us. We're in his hands. And not only that, so there's love, there's protection. But then look at this. We get to sit at his feet. You know what a privilege that is? To come and sit at his feet. Not everybody's invited to do that. Not everybody gets that privilege. Remember Mary, who chose that good part that would not, you know, wouldn't be taken away from her? She sat at the Lord's feet and just heard his words. I mean, that's a great privilege that we have as children of God. Just to sit at his feet. And everyone shall receive of thy words. I don't know. It blessed me today, that verse. It blessed me today. And I don't know. I love him. It was a good day. It was a good day with my brothers. We had a lot of sweet fellowship today. I just enjoyed being with them. And I'm so happy that Corey's here tonight. And we're going to, I guess, let the guys come, if you will. We didn't even set an order of anything. Whoever wants to go first. Just come, share a few words, and then we'll let Brother Corey come. You want the handheld? Josh, can you turn this on? So we don't have to keep handing off this lapel.
Okay, bye. All right. I guess my thoughts could just be summarized in one of the prison epistles greetings. So if you just want to, I'll read a verse to start. Go to Philippians chapter 1, Paul's greeting to the Philippians and Paul's writing, as we know, from prison. But this, I guess, sums up how I feel and I can't even find the words. You know, an English teacher who can't find the right word to describe how good God has been to us and to letting us, just to let us be a part of this. You know, we walked in there with a thought in our head like, well, we're going to be such a help. And it was the opposite. We walked out of there every time like, we felt so unworthy. I know I could speak of everybody. Pastor said it. And in Philippians, look at chapter 1, book of verse 2 to 7, he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace." And there's just a few words in there that just, you know, they really illustrate how I feel. The first word that jumped out at me there was prayer. Because it was our prayer to get in there. It was our prayer to be a part of it. I mean, it just showed us how God, even though we had to wait, man, God's prayers had watered that ground. It was like we walked in and it was just fruitful ground from the minute we walked in. So this whole experience to me was a lesson in prayer. And when we got in there, the brothers at Arthur Kill, they said, yeah, we were praying for you. So don't stop praying. And the big word in verse 5 is fellowship. Man, from the first time we went in there, I know you've experienced this at Paraguay and you've experienced this in different ministries, but it's like we knew them 100 years. They hugged you every time you walked in. And, you know, I've done street ministry and nursing homes. We've done all kinds of things. I've never had a reception like that. I've never had a kindred spirit like that. It was absolutely amazing. And it's only the gospel. You see, it's fellowship in the gospel. I have nothing in common with the brothers there. I'm a nerd. I didn't get in a lot of trouble as a kid. I had nothing in common. But we laughed. We joked. We were best friends in 5 minutes. Who could do that but Jesus Christ? Who could do that? You know, there's a proof. Another thing. Look what he says in verse 7. I have you in my heart. You know, I know I can speak for every man who was a part of the ministry. These guys that we rolled and rubbed shoulder to shoulder with are indelibly etched across my heart. I will never forget, even if I don't see some of these guys, I will never forget Robbie Robinson and Barnabas and Corey Turner and Chuck and Chris Baker and these names that just come across my mind. Man, we fell in love with these people. And you know what? We got to fall in love with each other. We got to fall in love with people. I mean, these are people that we're dealing with, lives, and they're in my heart. You know what it is, the last word? He begins the greeting and he ends the greeting with the same word, grace. If not for the grace of God, this would have been just spitting in the wind. It would have been absolutely nothing. It would have been nothing. And I'm sure Corey's going to speak to that, but I want to just end with one last thought. 1 Corinthians 15. I saw this morning at around 4:30 a.m. 1 Corinthians 15, that verse, that chapter about the gospel and about the resurrection. There's so much truth in there, but you know what it begins with? It begins and ends with the same expression. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:2, he says at the end of 15:2, unless you have believed in vain. And then the last expression he says in the whole chapter, in verse 58, he says, your labor is not in vain. You know what the prison ministry encouraged me, and I hope encourages you? You have not believed in vain, and your labor is not in vain. Our God is a great God. He's a mighty God, and His word will never return void. I would exhort you, brethren, keep applying the Word of God to the souls of men. And whether you get to see an Arthur Kill experience or not, as Pastor Dean had us saying, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. And to Corey, ye are our glory and joy.
First, I just want to start out like I started out the prison ministry. I just want to thank and praise the Lord that I was part of it. We probably all learned different things and took away different things from it, and I can honestly say that I got so much closer with the Lord from being a part of that ministry. I mean, there's a lot of funny things, and there was a lot of serious things, and when I heard that it was going to be once a month, maybe twice a month, I said, that's not going to be so bad. You know, if I have to preach once, they'll forget it by the time I have to get up there again. But then it came to like 5 days a week. And I said, Lord, obviously it's of you or nothing's going to come out of it. And I got real close with the Lord. And I got so much closer with the book. And He just showed me things. And so many times, Pat makes a joke of it, but so many times we would go up to the prison and I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't even have a verse. And I was praying the night before and I'm saying, Lord, I got to have something. I mean, show me something. And I would just search and search, and I said, I didn't get anything. And then I would get to the prison, and Pat or Pastor or Frank or Eli would be up there ahead of me, and then the Lord would just say, boom, and it would be a verse. And it was just the Lord saying, you know what, get yourself out of the way and trust and lean on me, and I'll take care of it. And it was just amazing. And that ministry was so unbelievable to me. I mean, Corey's like, I mean, he's my brother in the Lord, but I really do feel like he's a brother. I mean, all of them. I would leave there and it just wasn't enough. And we were there for 3 hours a night sometimes. I mean, I went on a Sunday morning alone for 3.5 hours with one verse, and the Lord just said, and He opened it up, and it was an amazing, amazing time because I had nothing to do with it. And the Lord just showed me so many things. And I'm just so thankful that I was able to be a part of it. I told Pastor in the beginning that I should probably not be one of the guys to be involved with it because, you know, there's so many other guys that probably should have been there before me. But I really did have a great time, and the Lord did show me a lot of stuff. And again, we built relationships with these guys that, you know, I really do feel that my father, most of you have heard my testimony, my father was the captain of Rikers Island, so whenever I heard prison stories, they weren't good ones. He would come home when I was too young, and he wouldn't tell me stuff until I was older, and then I wish sometimes he didn't tell me what he told me, but I went in there maybe with a different, you know, idea or thought process than maybe some of the guys that were in it, because I always heard, you know, the worst case situations, how he had to go take care of things at 3 a.m. that he didn't want me and my family to know about. And I went in saying, you know what, it's not the movies, it's real life. And the Lord just used it. It was sweet from the second I got introduced to these guys. Let me tell you something. There wasn't a thought in my head, right now you're in a prison. No. I honestly felt like we were in church, having a service, praising the Lord. The singing was amazing. The messages were unbelievable, and the Lord really spoke to me. And I'm praying that something does open up, because I miss it. I definitely do miss it. And I'm glad that I was able to see Corey, you know, walk out of those gates this morning. I mean, I can only imagine what it felt like. But I just thank the Lord for what He showed me. And I just have a couple of verses here. Pastor didn't tell us we were going to be saying anything, as usual, so... I just was downstairs just going through my Bible quick, and something jumped out at me, and I'm sure it's not a coincidence. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I was just looking at it, and I'm saying, well, maybe it's not appropriate, but then I got such a blessing out of it that if it's not appropriate, I apologize anyway. In chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." And I was deceived for 25 years. I grew up in a Catholic religion. I grew up in a Catholic church. I was deceived. And there's a list here of sins, and that's not the important part here. Verse 11 jumped out at me. And it says, "And such were some of you," were some of you. And this is why. "You are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And I could apply so much. Unlike Pat, I did have a crazy childhood. I did put my parents through some crazy stuff. And I believe it made me a stronger person now, because the Lord blessed me and allowed me to overcome those things. And my brother Corey, you know, before you went into prison, you weren't saved. You got saved in jail. And I know you're worried about things that are going to happen now, but that's tremendous right there. We're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. And brother, you've been in my prayers, and you'll continue to be in my prayers, as well as the other brothers at the other prisons that are scattered all over the place. And I don't want to take up too much time. I just want to thank and praise the Lord, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, for allowing me to be a part of this. And I do hope and pray that something will open up soon.
Okay, let me see. It was a while ago, a few years ago, some of us started to pray for the jail ministry, and it's been a long, long time, and it was on and off, the door was closed, it was in and out, and we're just praying and praying, the trip for Paraguay just came around, and I like Mike when the first day I saw him, and I said, I would like to go see him one day. So I was determined to go to Paraguay. I didn't have the money, but I said, Lord, I really want to go. So I prayed, and I couldn't do it. And then suddenly the jail ministry opened up. And I was like, wow, okay. I was getting excited. So we went, we did our fingerprints, and just showing what the Lord did. And I had a hard time getting my fingerprints there. The guy was doing it like 5 times, and either I was nervous, I don't know what it was. There was so much opposition. And in my mind, as Mike was saying, you know, different thoughts, I was like, oh, what am I doing here? I was watching movies. I had some fear, things like that. But I'm like, but wait a minute, my brothers are here. Fear? No, that's from the enemy. So I just let it go, and we finally got in. And I remember the first time we got in there, and they welcomed us. Like he said, 5 minutes. It was just like, it was amazing. It was amazing. There was a time, as Mike was saying, that, and it happened to me, if the pastor wants me to preach at the mission, I don't sleep at night. My wife thinks I'm crazy. You know, I try to study and all that. And then I thought I was going to just do it once a month, like he was saying, Mike. And it happens 5 times a week. And there was times, after a while, I didn't have anything to say. And I went there, and I sat there, and I listened to Frank. I end up with Frank most of the time. And just verse popped in, and it was my turn, and the Lord just took over. It was amazing.
Amen.
And it was amazing. Can't explain. And I did get closer to the Lord, reading. I wish I had it again. It was the best time of my life. And Corey, what a smile. When he used to come in, just smiling, it was just like, it was great. It was great. I remember the last time I saw Corey, because I always used to say to him, there was they call it Broadway. There was a line, like a red line, and he was on one side and we were on the other, and then we went home. And I said, Corey, one day you're going to be on the other line. We are on the other side. I'm going to see you. And today it's the other side. But I can't wait to be on the other side up there one day with
Amen.
Him. You know.
Amen.
So praise the Lord that I did not miss that blessing. That was my Paraguay. That was my Paraguay.
Amen.
I would love to go to Paraguay, but this was something that I just will never forget.
Amen.
Well, ever since I've been a part of this church back in the 80s, I think it was 83 or 84, we've been trying to get into Arthur Kill Correctional Facility. And we could never do it. And until last year, we finally got in after much prayer and whatnot. And in about 2 or 3 months, we got kicked out. Prior to this, I've been in 2 prisons, just visiting. But for the grace of God, you guys may have visited me in prison instead of my brothers. And that would be any of us. As my brother said before, the fellowship was real sweet. I've talked to people on the outside, people I worked with, family, and told them, you know, I'm involved with a prison ministry. And they've always said, wow, you were in there with all these prisons. And a few times I was in there alone with them, and never once did I ever have any feeling of fear or anything like that. Well, God doesn't give us that feeling anyway. And it was always one of fellowship, to see their smiling faces, to sing the songs and the hymns that we used to sing. It was just a sweet time, and it just came to an end. And I guess the reason was because the teaching that they got in those few months, I think will carry them for wherever they go. And they just have to keep it up. And wherever they do go, they would be like points of light in other places to transmit what was given to them to other people. And that's what we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 2:2. I just want to say to my brother, it's good to see you out. I love you. I pray that maybe we'll be able to see more of the guys come out. Be up to the Lord to do that. I've still corresponded with many of them that are in prison. That's what I was doing after the prison ministry that we did have. It was a correspondence ministry. And it seems that's what it is right now until something else opens up. But every time I pass that Arthur Kill facility, I just think back of the wonderful times that we had one with another. And I just thank God that he allowed me to be a little part of that. And I just want to leave you with a verse. And this is a charge for not only my brother Corey, but for each and every one of us. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20 and 21. It's now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. And he gets all the glory for whatever happens. And we have yet to see the things that he has in store for each and every one of our lives. It'll be wonderful in heaven, the things that we couldn't handle the things now to see what we were going to get, what we're going to get in heaven, as Pastor was saying before. But there's also things that he's going to still do and use us here on earth. And we have yet to even think of all those things. God bless you, Corey, and we'll always be here for you.
Well, a couple of words. Corey was not just an inmate, but he was, even though I think he was probably one of the younger believers in the group of saved men that were in there, he was the leader of the Christian group and led the ministry, kind of like was the spokesman. And he's got some natural leadership ability, and I believe God's going to use him, you know, in his life. We're going to pray that God will... His desire is to be in the ministry someday. I don't know how the Lord will work that out, but somehow you pray for him that God will just continue to bless his life. We were able to get him into just so that he's got some security for a period of time until he gets on his feet. The rescue mission that we go to in Manhattan, we've been going there for years. They agreed to take Brother Corey in. He's going to be a part of their program. He'll be a permanent resident. So it's a place for him to stay, meals each day. They have a discipleship ministry, several hours of Bible study a day. And he might be able there, you know, to get also some training for the ministry. But just pray for him that the Lord just continue to direct his life and bless him. And so I think at this time, brother, why don't you just come ahead and we'll have you give your testimony. Corey Turnow. Amen. Give him a hand, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, my brother. Okay. All right. Well, actually, you do, because we're going to record this. Right? Give him the lapel. Okay, so I'm going to hook this on you, just so that we have a... Because people may want to listen to this again.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank my risen Savior Christ. Amen. He's first above all. There was this guy walking in the street, and he seen this dog, and this dog was cold and shivering. And everybody passed this dog by. So the man seen the dog and went over to the dog and got some blankets and wrapped the dog up and took it home with him. So he nourished the dog back to life. He bathed it, he fed it, he played with it. It became his family. Then one day the dog just ran away from home. So all over, he was looking for this dog. This dog's name was Mud Dog. He was looking for this dog. He was like, "Mud Dog, where are you? I can't find you, Mud Dog." So one night he was sleeping, 2 o'clock in the morning. A scratch on the door. So he was like, "Who's this at the door?" So he opened the door. He didn't see no one. He was looking around. He didn't see no one. So he closed the door. When he turned around, Mud Dog was in his living room. So he said, "Mud Dog, why would you do this to me? Why would you run away? I thought we was real good friends." So Mud Dog was like, "Shh, just look outside." So what I'm looking outside for? He said, "Look outside." When he looked outside, there was a whole bunch of Mud Dogs in front of his door. He said, "You treated me so good, I had to tell my friends. Because I know that if you did the same for me, you could do it for them." I was that Mud Dog. I was that Mud Dog to them prison ministries that came in that showed me so much love. You never know until you put yourself in that predicament to save another brother's life. I'm just grateful to be here. I don't know what to expect. I'm kind of nervous because I'm on the other side of the gate, and this is a new experience for me. I've never been saved before. I try to be saved all my life because I try to do things on my own, but I never could have did things because every time I kept on failing and failing, but there was a deadness inside of me. Until I met that man from Galilee. Amen. He changed my whole world around. Amen. If y'all know who he is, put your hands together because he's Jesus. Amen. When I was out there, I was homeless. I've been through so much. I came from a family. Family was My family was my family, but there was so much in my family that caused me to be separated, and nobody knew what I was going through. So it came a time that I just shut down because nobody understood what I was going through. That caused me to rebel, get out the house, and do other things. I grew up, I got sexually molested when I was small. I got raised in the streets, I turned to gangs and stuff like that. And these things was embedded inside of me. I had demons inside of me. Actual demons inside of me. And my joy was to see and inflict pain on other people. I loved what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? To the point that it became a part of me. But I caught this case 11 years ago because I wanted to get caught. Because I had a deadness inside of me. And that deadness made me tired. I couldn't really eat. I couldn't sleep. I seen my life deteriorating in front of my eyes. So I purposely caught this case. Not to get arrested, but to get rescued from the things that I was doing out there. So when I was in jail, I had a couple people that were witnessed the gospel to me. And I threatened them so much. I told them, "If you keep on telling me about this Jesus character, I'm going to fight you because I'm sick and tired hearing about this Jesus guy." So what happened was, that's when I was in Sullivan County. I got transferred to Arthur Kill. When I was in Arthur Kill, the same guy. See, this is how God got a sense of humor. He got a sense of humor because he sets you right where he wants you in order to get your attention. The same guy that was witnessing this Jesus with me, was the same one that was right next door to me. I told God, I was like, you think you funny, right? You really think you funny. All right, let me deal with this. So it was one time that he was reading the Bible to me, and the first time in my life, I knew I needed to hear them words. So it was one day he didn't read it to me, so I went over to his cube, and I told him, are you trying to play me? You know you're supposed to read that Bible to me. How come you ain't reading that Bible to me? He said he was sorry, so he read it to me. And then from there, something just quickened inside me. You know what I mean? It was a feeling that I never felt before. It was something amazing. And I remember when I received Christ in my life as my Savior, I have to bear with me, you know. I received Christ in my life that night. August 17th, 2008, I received Christ in my life. And I never looked back. I couldn't look back. I mean, I grew up on the streets. I never cried until I know what it was when Christ touched my heart. I never, people was pointing guns at me when I was in the street. I never threw up my hands. But when I met that man, I threw up my hands. And I said, glory unto you. It's just amazing. I was inside of a gang. And I was the leader inside of a gang. I was in a gang called the Bloods. And I was a leader inside of a gang. And I remember telling the same person that witnessed Christ to me. I told him, I'm tired. I don't want to do this no more. I'm tired. I want some rest for my soul. I'm tired. So he said like this before. And it was supposed to be a big outbrawl between two rival gangs. So I said, I don't want to do this no more. I'm tired. So what happened was, he was like, I tell you what, go up there, as you walk in, pray. I said, pray, I'm not even a believer yet. So he's like, just pray. So I prayed, my prayer was, God, whoever you are, make yourself real to me. I don't want to do this. And by the time I got there, the police grabbed everybody. I went to church that night and I gave my life to him. Amen. It wasn't easy because they called my mother and threatened my mother. But when I prayed, then I went to church again and I prayed. And that person that threatened my mother, we never heard from him again. I'm grateful. I don't feel worthy to be up here, but there's a reason why I'm up here, and I'm determined to find out the reason why I'm up here. I'm determined. I want to know what the end is going to be. And I know the end is going to be something real special because he kept me for all these years, and he's still keeping me. Even when I'm hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious, he's still keeping me. And this is the amazing part about it. Even Jesus himself won't detach himself from you.
That's right. Amen.
You got the power to detach yourself away from Jesus. Nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hands but yourself. So even if Jesus wanted to, he can't get rid of you because there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So I'm here today to tell y'all that I ain't gonna lie, there are some people in jail that just fake it to make it. When they get behind, when they get out, they leave their Bible on the front gate. I ain't leave my Bible on my front gate. My mother got my Bible. I came with my Bible. I'm not a fly-by Christian. I take this very serious. I ain't part of a Mickey Mouse Club. I take this serious. And I take Jesus serious, and Jesus takes me serious. I'm just baffled because there's so many things that I want to say, but I can't get it out the right way on how to say it. But there's something in me that there's an unspeakable joy inside of me. I mean, I never felt this way before, and I would never turn away from him because I know because he lives, I could face tomorrow. He got my life inside my hands. It was something embedded in me. I grew up on the street, so sometimes I got a little rough edges. But that just blows off the steam because he knows my heart. I'm nothing but a pussycat. Because he humbled me. And he showed me so much. And brother, I feel you when you said that you seen that guy in the street and he was a homeless Christian. And he loves the Lord. As long as he's out there, as long as he's serving the Lord got him. The Lord got him. I feel your humbleness and I feel your sincerity of heart. That's how we are with Christians. But he holds our future. And if you don't mind, I'd like to sing this song. I was singing this song in the car, and I didn't know that they had original version of Jesus, Love on My Soul. But I'm used to singing this version, and this is how the version goes. Jesus, love of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. You're my wonderful. I'll never let you go. My savior. My closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, love of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. You're my wonderful. I'll never let you go. My savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Thank you.
Rose, stand up. This is Corey's mom right here. Rose Toner. Some of the guys expressed similar feelings about feeling unworthy and often unprepared in being involved in the prison ministry. And by now, I think in this church, you know that it's not ability that God is ever looking for. It is an ability. It's just availability. It's just a willingness and a desire for the Lord to have your life and use you. And God will take a man like that, whether it's one of us in a prison ministry or it's Corey or anybody else. And he'll go a lot farther with a man like that than he will with a guy that maybe has much more, looks like a lot more ability. Because it never is ability. God doesn't get the glory when it's ability. God gets the glory when it's just a willing heart and a love for Him. And then God will use a man. So I love my brother. I'm so glad that we were able to share this day with him. His first 24 hours of freedom here. You pray for him over the weekend. He's going to be staying with his mom for a few days. And then on Monday, we'll go get him settled in the program in the city. So, as the Lord allows, I'm not exactly sure what all the restrictions are in the program, but we're going to try and have him over here as often as we can. Just come and fellowship with us and be a part of the church here. So please keep him and his mom in your prayers. All right, that God will just continue to bless their lives and guide and direct them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We love you, brother. Now listen, if you feel led to tonight, as God puts it in your heart, the prison gives a guy $40 and a bus ticket when they let him out the door. And so if you'd like to be a blessing to Brother Corey in some way financially, we'll pray that God will give him wisdom and how all of that is used. But if you'd like to help him out tonight, why don't you you think about that tonight when the service is over, okay? Yes, sir. Okay.
Corey was broken. I felt his pain. I just want to give him a hug because Jesus is good.
Hmm.
I know that Jesus loves this guy. I don't want you to feel that you're the only person that's been in prison before. And I want everybody to know. I thank my Uncle Brian for bringing me here. He saved my life.
Hmm.
I did 7 years in prison. For a crime that was never did, I was set up. So you're not the only one that stepped out of there, and I understand you that there's felonies in there, and I just want to give you a real big hug for just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in you. And He's amazing. He never changes. He's awesome. We have a big family. And I just love you, and I love everybody here. You're the only one. I just want to let you know that.
All right, amen.
Stepped into this church, and I met Pastor right there. I felt so loved, and it I feel so good, and I just want to let you know that He's so powerful, He's so amazing, He's everything. He brings us so close, and I love all of you guys. I love everybody that's in here, and I have you in my heart, and you'll always be in my heart. And everybody in prison. I got out September 21st, I got out. I was in prison in Florida. I did 3 years, I got out, and I went back and did another 2 years. And now I'm back, I got saved 3 years ago, and I talk about Jesus everywhere I go. I let everybody know that He is amazing, and I just want to give Pastor a hug.
If anybody else wants a hug, Steven. Rose was saying today the pastor of the church where she goes in the Bronx wants to start a ministry going out in the street and hugging people. Yeah. All right, amen. Were you blessed tonight? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. He's good. God's been good to this church. And you pray for the prison ministry, whatever God has for us. I don't know how many years we prayed to get in there. Four months later, they closed the prison down and it's all done. But I'll tell you what, the little bit of time that God let us in there, not only did we get close to a wonderful group of men, but somehow God opened their hearts to receive doctrine and truth. And within a short period of time, we've had folks in this church that took 2 years and longer to get a hold of the truth of a perfect and infallible Bible. These guys got it in about a week. I mean, within a week, 2 weeks, they were getting rid of NIVs and New King James Bibles and ASVs and all kinds of other stuff. And not because we said so, but just they saw it. So what I learned out of that is that God had a group of men whose hearts were like fertile ground. And the Lord just brought us in for a short season, but He'd been working years to get that ground ready. And man, that little bit of time that we got in there, it was evident the Lord was there, was working. He knit our hearts together. But then these guys went to 8 or 9 different prisons from there, and we're hearing from them in their letters. They're staying true to the Word of God. They're still talking about how much they love their King James Bible. And we just thank God for what He did. And we give all the glory tonight goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. God did it. God did it in spite of us. And God did it. And we're thankful. We're thankful for that. So we're going to pray. We'll be dismissed. And please take some time and say hello to Brother Corey. Let him know you're going to be praying for him. If you feel like you want to help him in some way, then you go ahead and do that tonight, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much.